Thank you once again for joining us as we continue our study from Babylon to Jerusalem. You see, God has not left us without a witness or direction. He's constantly informing us of what his plans are and how we can prepare to be a participant in what he has called us to do. And so he has documented in the Bible, yes, starting with the book of Daniel, events starting from the collapse of the kingdom of Judah, because they wouldn't behave themselves. So God allowed Babylon, led by Nebuchadnezzar, to come and besiege that major city and really move most of the nobles and the leaders out of position, just remove them. And from then on, they were not really a kingdom until really 1947, 48, somewhere else there. They came back, and that is to fulfill end time prophecy. However, what God has done, he has documented through the young man Daniel, who later we refer to as a prophet, writing down events. He was just a child when he was taken to Babylon, but he excelled. God blessed him immensely, and he was used to document a lot of what God was doing. And so when you read the book of Daniel, chapters 1, 2, and 7, it outlines the picture of what is going to take place from his time until the return of Jesus Christ. Now, most of what Daniel has seen in chapters 2 and 7 is for the future. It's, well, there's little connection, because there has to be a connection where he was, and so Babylon is that connection. It continues over into Media Persia, but the point was that he was there in Babylon, and that is where we enter the story. And so he continues then to record things for the future. You recall that chapter 7, there were four beasts, and the fourth beast was different from all the others. It had 10 horns. And then the Bible documents, which is great imagery, another little horn among those 10 horns. That little horn was really confrontational, and so it removed three of the horns, and so seven remain. Now, what do we see? Well, what we saw was that those horns, as the explanation was given, we don't have to guess, it is given in chapter 7, that those little horns were kings, and since they were not simultaneous, they have to be sequential. Three of them were plucked up. Now, there were a total of 10. Three were plucked up. And then the other seven started to come online one by one. Now, what we find then, if you look at these things for us from a historical perspective, what we find was a horn really is what we would refer to as an outgrowth of whatever it is connected to. And so that little horn was connected to, or those horns rather were connected to, the fourth beast, which is the Roman Empire. Now, when we study at another date, we will go back and identify, and so we can verify which country it represents what at what point in time. We'll do that so you won't have any doubt. For the time being, I'm asking you just pay attention to what we are pointing out. And of course, whenever I give a lesson for you to read, for example, a chapter, you study that and you look at it, and the picture should become very clear. We saw where the first kingdom was Babylon, and of course that was represented by a head of gold, followed by another combined kingdom, really Media Persia, the Medes, and then the Persians became much stronger. We call them Iranians today, but they're the same people. And what happened was they were this next group, or the next head, and then after that was the Greeks, led by Alexander the Great. He didn't last too long because he didn't have any successor. His four generals divided up the area that they were dominant in at the time, and so you have four heads, as it says in the third animal of Daniel 7, and that's the leopard divided into four heads. That's the Greeks, four empire. And or should say four segments. And then out of those came one far more stronger than all of them. That's the iron, the one that was like iron. And it lasted approximately 500 years. That's basically what happened. It lasted approximately 500 years. Well, over time, it collapsed just like every other empire. And so what we find then is that God, there are others who were so interested in the Roman Empire, and they decided, well, let's go ahead and try to resurrect this. You know, they are so fascinated by the type of government that they had. And so what happened was that there were several attempts to resurrect that empire. And several attempts to resurrect that empire, and three of them were plucked up. Three of them were plucked up by the roots, and the other seven then came in line and to collaborate with what we learned later was the little horn. That's what it says in chapter 7. Now, what happened was, when now we're on to chapter Revelation, the 13th chapter, and we're going to go to verse 1. And I would just like to summarize by saying something up front so you understand where we're coming from. That Revelation now deals primarily from a historical perspective, since we have come into the picture. That's now in the 20th century, 21st century. We are now in the end times of these events, whereas Daniel came in the beginning of those events. See what I'm saying? Now, Revelation 13 is describing the same thing that Daniel saw, but Revelation is a composite. So, in chapter 13 of book of Revelation, starting with verse 1, it says, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Notice now, this is the beast, and what we find then, remember, there were 10 horns in the fourth beast of Daniel 7. Three of them were plucked up by the little horn. So how many do you have remaining? Seven. Well, what we find then, the collaboration between the little horn and the remaining seven started at that point. Whatever the time is not relevant. No, we'll talk about that in the future. But my point is that from then on, we have those seven horns starting to collaborate with the little horn, which we later will realize is referred to as the a second beast in Revelation 13. So let's go back and look at this again, Revelation 13, and I'll just go ahead and just quickly summarize it. Because the point is this: what I want you to get in mind is from the kingdom of Babylon until the kingdom of God, God has given us an outline. And so you and I can just plot the stages and see where things are. We can easily look it up in history and validate these things, all right? So in Revelation 13:2, it says, the beast was like a lion, was like a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. The dragon being the devil, or Satan the devil. Revelation 12:9 describes that. And so when you're in chapter 13 now, it uses that expression. You should know what it means. It is referring to the devil. He gives him the power, seat, and great authority. In other words, he is the real force behind these resurrection and this actual situation in the end time. Now, what we're finding out then is that the 10 horns of the book of Daniel, because they were not simultaneous, they were sequential. Remember, the Eloid, the Astrogites and the Vandals, there were the three groups that You can verify this again from history. They were the ones who tried to attempt to resurrect the Roman Empire. Well, they collapsed because the Little Horn was constantly fighting against them. And so, when we read now in Revelation, the 13th chapter, it says, one of his head, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, remember we in verse 1, or actually verse 2, actually verse 1, there were seven heads and 10 horns. In the book of Daniel, there were a total of seven heads and 10 horns. The horns represent something a little different in book of Daniel as it does from it does in Revelation. But remember, a horn, again, is outgrowth of whatever it is connected to. Just like a cow, you know, you have cow horn, or over in Africa, you have these, what appears to be rhinoceros and so on, horn. You have those horns, and the elephant tusk and so on. It reflects, it's a representative of whatever it is connected to, whatever it grows out of. And so the 10 horns of Daniel 7 are represented by the Roman Empire coming out of it. And remember I said they are sequential. All right. Now, in Revelation, it tells you the summary. That one of the seven heads was wounded. Well, which one is it? It has to be the fourth one. It was wounded as to that, but it was healed. Or we would say in modern language, it was resurrected. And so that's where the connection is made. And we begin to see now the constant resurrection taking place, which we will prove in another lesson. However, what we're seeing then is that, here it is, it says, I saw one of his heads as he was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. That's the Roman Empire. And then the horns are developing now and coming out of it. And a total of nine have transpired so far. Well, there were 10, right? Well, which one? What happened next? One more is coming. That is yet future. That is why we're studying this. This is one is going to take over everything, and it's going to domineer. How do we know that? Because Revelation tells us here. He says, verse 4 says, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is able to make war with him? It's going to be a very powerful military establishment. Nobody's going to be able to stop him. Not even the United States. In fact, the United States is going to be collapsed before at that point in time. Yes, that's what's going to happen. However, it says in verse 5, and there was given unto him great mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue for 42 months. So that's how long it's going to last, for 42 months, or what we would say 3.5 years. We'll just get ahead of the game, but when they set this thing up, the idea is that they're going to come out with a lie, or what do we call chicanery, fake system, and say, well, you know, approximately 7 years. But after 3.5 years, the Bible says it's going to collapse. So that's how long we know this is going to happen. And that's how long it's going to be on planet Earth. Those of us who are here during that time, we are already aware of this. And of course, we will plan accordingly. And God obviously is going to take care of his people, those who are praying that they can escape these things. Now let's press on a little more and get some more information. In verse 7 of Revelation 13, it says, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So it's going to be a worldwide operation. Now you recall, and by the way, there are descriptions all over the internet describing how they're going to divide up the world into 10 sections or segments, or little kingdoms, if you might want to say that. And what we find now is that in Revelation 13, there were 10 horns, and on their head were what? 10 crowns. All right? And so those horns then in Revelation 13 represent the 10 segments that we're going to have in the, when the beast power comes on the scene. Now, in verse 11, it says, I beheld, because he was looking at this beast. Remember, in verse 1, he was standing up, he just looked at this beast, and this beast comes 7 heads, 10 horns. Well, he says, another beast come up out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Notice this now. He spoke, he has horns, behaving like a lamb, Christ-like, but he's speaking like a dragon. And we remember what the dragon is, the devil. So he's talking like the devil. And he exercised all the power of the first beast. So this organization has organized themselves, and they're structured like the Roman Empire. But remember now, they are Christ-like, they claim. But those who are listening to them, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, we see that they are speaking like the devil. They're doing devilish things. So this is really a false church-like operation, but it is set up like the Roman Empire. So you have a Roman-type church masquerading as the church of God, but from what it does, we can see that this is Antichrist in nature, and the leader, you can see clearly, is going to be the great false prophet, and we'll prove that in more studies. But it is established clearly now that the beast power is Roman in nature. It is the outgrowth of the Roman Empire, and it is just another resurrection. In fact, they give it that name. They call it the Holy Roman Empire. Starting with Charlemagne in Europe, they call it the Holy Roman Empire. And each of these leaders, when in each major stage, get their blessings and directive from the Roman church. They traveled over there to Rome and initially made an agreement. We will handle the physical, you handle the spiritual. So that's what we're beginning to see. So this little horn now, or see the second beast in Revelation 13, that's verse 11, we find that it's clearly identified as a religious organization behaving as if it is a physical government of men, and to some extent really it is. And at one point, if you go back and study their history, you'll find that they even had their own army, set up their own currency and jurisdiction and things like that. All right, but we just want to be able to identify what is going on so you and I can conduct our mission that God has given us, and we won't fall victim to what the enemy is doing, because we are not going to take their mark. Well, what does he do? Why do I say that? In verse 14, it says, he deceived them that dwell on the earth, talking about the people, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do. Remember, I said he is like a false prophet. He had power to do certain magic, that kind of thing. I guess you would say juju. He doesn't say that kind of stuff. But the point is that he is from the devil. Verse 15 says he had power to give life to the image of the beast, because he set up everything just like the beast. And so they're an image in terms of operation and structure. And so that's what he has. And he calls, verse 15 says, he calls as many as would not worship the image of the beast, they should be killed. You ever notice some of these organizations, when you go, if you ever just happen to, for whatever, stumble in it, or perhaps you were in that a group, and you notice they're always bowing down to the bishop, kissing their hand, and so on? That's not biblical. That's idolatry. But they do teach that and practice it. And so it's verse 16, those who wouldn't do it, well, they're going to get killed. And it has, the history has proven that. And if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it documents a lot of these activities that have taken place in the past. But here it is in verse 16. It says, "He caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead." Anybody who wants to conduct any kind of buying or selling or business, because they're not going to just let you go free, you have to have this mark. Well, you and I know full well when we study this chapter, and I'm going to encourage you to study this again, you know that you cannot be one of God's people if you're going to take this mark. So we will not take the mark. But the mark is coming. There's going to be a time, and it's going to be a final test. That is why Jesus was saying, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things. Now, we as pastors have a responsibility to show the people what is coming and prepare them not to be scared, but to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Remember now, the wicked flee when none pursue, but the righteous are as bold as lions. So we are not going to back down. We're going to continue to proclaim the good news. And in spite of what the enemy is going to try to bring against us, we are going to be wise. And there are times when the Lord will say, close the meeting, go out through the back door, and the moment you then leave, then here comes the secret police or the military running in through the front door trying to arrest you. You're already gone. See, God has ways to do these things, and he's going to teach us how to, well, I guess you might say conduct warfare, but the point is that he's going to teach us what to do, when, and how. And so we want to make sure we understand this. And that is why we're studying all the events that are leading up to the coming kingdom of God. And we're starting out so we can get a proper picture, just like God has put it in the Bible, from Babylon to Revelation. So this is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. You can monitor your progress and how much you have done, and also what has taken place so far. And you'll be able to prove that the final resurrection of the Roman Empire, which is taking place in Europe right now, it's going to be the same as the beast of Daniel 7. Because remember now, the beast represents a government. The leader of that group, you generally refer to him as a king or president or chancellor, emperor perhaps, but he is going to be the one that's over these things. And of course, from our understanding now, that is going to be the Antichrist or false Messiah, and he is going to be over the beast power. All the different groups or segments that you have, sectionals that are set up, the 10 of them, they're going to give their power to this beast 1 hour at a time, or in other words, for a period of time. But they're going to pledge their allegiance that way. And of course, because he's going around with a false prophet, doing signs and wonders, false signs and wonders, that is, people are going to fall victim and believe this, foolishly thinking that this really is God. In fact, most of the folks in the Jewish nation of Judah, they're going to really believe this. The Bible said they will accept another, but the one that is true God, they will not accept. Well, you and I don't have to be remaining in the dark. The book of, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says we have this sure word of prophecy. And so this is what it is. He has told us before, so we will know. And we are looking at this now, and so we are alert to the plans of the enemy, and so we are going to conduct our church affairs, our personal affairs, accordingly. So I just thought I'd go ahead and just whet your appetite with this, and we're going to drill in some more next time as we continue on our series from Babylon to Jerusalem. Thank you so much.